listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name's Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. The topic for tonight is going to be boundaries. And I'm going to do a little bit of a background on boundaries. Boundaries aren't walls. They're rules of engagement. They teach others how to treat you, and they teach you how to protect your peace. When you set a boundary, you're not being mean. You're being clear. Clarity is love. Confusion is chaos. So let's talk about what healthy boundaries look like, how to set them without guilt, and how they help you stay grounded in your self-worth. Some main points we'll be talking about is what boundaries really are. Boundaries are your limits with love. They define what behavior is okay and what's not. Without them, you end up exhausted, resentful, or invisible. Some examples of boundaries are, I'm available to talk when we can both stay calm. I don't discuss personal topics at work. Why we struggle to set them. We're fear of rejection or conflict, childhood conditioning to please or fix others first, confusing being nice with being selfless. Dr. Pat says if you don't have boundaries, you're not loving, you're enabling. So there's three types of boundaries: physical, that's space, touch, privacy; emotional, that's tone, topics, energy, exchange; and time, energy, how much you give and to whom. So how to communicate a boundary, the Dr. Pat Allen style: state what you want. I want to feel safe and respected. Say what works for you. I'm open to talking when voices stay calm. Set the consequences. If it continues, I'll need to take a break. So tonight we'll be talking about boundaries. I have my guest, another coach from the WAN Institute, Andy Shaw. Andy, do you want to say hi to the audience?
Hello, audience.
And we do have a call-in number if you'd like to call in and ask. We take any questions, whether it's work, family, or relationships. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you're not available to call in the radio show, you can always email me a question and we'll answer it on the air, and then you can listen to the archives. I have a lady that wrote in for a hi-bye letter that I'm going to read in a little bit. And I do want to talk about what we have going on at the WAN Institute. Right now we have some ladies groups available. We start them first of every month. I have lady groups. I'm a facilitator, and I think we're trying to get Andy some men's groups available. So the ladies groups are once a week for 4 weeks. It's a 4 week commitment once a week. And the commitment is $80 for the month, 4 weeks. So that's $20 a session. It's limited to 5 ladies, and it's via Zoom, and it is for an hour and a half. Each lady gets to share their questions, and then we go over different topics for the week. And I send out information flyers regarding the topics, and the ladies just love it. So we do have a few seats coming available. I have some in the morning, afternoon, and evening. So if you want information on the ladies groups, you can reach me at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call me at 949-723-0338. So, Andy, do you want to say anything to the audience about what's going on with you or any topics you want to talk about? We have boundaries as one of them.
Well, I like boundaries.
Well, you know what? There's a difference. People think boundaries are being mean to people. And there's a difference. If you don't have healthy boundaries, people walk all over you. You don't know how to say no, and then you get angry and resentful. Has that happened to you? Have you ever lacked boundaries?
Yeah, sadly.
And what happened?
I got walked over. I got used and abused with my permission.
How did it change?
Well, you know, the Maslow's book of I forget what the heck it's called right now, but it's got a chapter in there about 8 dangers of getting healthy.
Where you
get healthy, you lose friends and family. So the more you say no, the less people can abuse you. You don't have to be abused. But that's a boundary. Like, respect my time, respect my effort, attitude. And if you don't want to do that, that's cool. I'm just not going to be there to do your thing either.
Yeah. Sometimes if you don't have healthy boundaries set up in the beginning and you start setting them, people get kind of upset because they're not used to you setting boundaries. And then sometimes you have a conflict. That's happened before with some of my ladies. They get resistance because they maybe went a year without having boundaries, and then they're setting them up and their partners aren't familiar with them saying, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. So then it can cause an uproar.
There's a little area in the book called Truth About Men.
Yes.
That, because you mentioned the word enable earlier, so I looked it up.
Yes, okay.
And it talks about how today's woman feels afraid to present herself by flirting. And I'll get to the point here in just a moment. Some say cultural inappropriateness is to blame, but our research finds a simpler answer. Women being afraid to say no to casual sex. And this delves into boundaries. Therapeutically, we say that she would rather be conquered, a version of psychological rape, in order to avoid responsibility for the sex. But our lack of skill of being self-centered enough to say no enables us to capitulate and then later blame him for our failure to negotiate equitably and make it safe to approach us.
So what I'm hearing is I have that a lot of times. The ladies, they give in. And then because they didn't have healthy boundaries, they're mad at the guy for pushing them, when actually it was them that was uncomfortable to say no. Is that what you break down of what you just said too?
It is. And the next paragraph goes into saying, would you rather capitulate and be conquered or be confident enough to negotiate a safe approach for him?
Yeah.
So if we fear flirting in order to let him know he can come closer, we lose the opportunity to create a dating relationship. Shocking as it sounds, this advice works.
What did you just say? In flirting to let him know to come closer?
I'll read it from the top of the paragraph, which is, would you rather capitulate and be conquered or be confident enough to negotiate a safe approach for him? If we fear flirting in order to let him know he can come closer, we lose the opportunity to create a dating relationship.
Okay. Yes. I have a lot of women that are afraid to signal men that they're interested. And you know what they say? I don't want to be too easy. I go, well, then, if you play hard to get, that's sending a pretty powerful message to stay away. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah, we need messages. We need communication. We don't do...
Well, we have a caller on. I'm sorry, Andy. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us? Hello? Caller? Oh, maybe they hung up. Hello? No, maybe they hung up. Well, go ahead, because they'll probably cut back in.
Yeah, call back.
Yeah, call back, caller, if you just call in.
That's all. So I just want, so we talk about the relationship contract, which is nothing more than a boundary in different areas of your life. Just deciding what you'll accept and what you'll reject. And you do it for yourself, even when you're not in a relationship, or if you are, whichever, to know what your boundaries are, what you will accept and what you will not accept.
Okay. I did do a print up of her relationship contract, and it basically, there's core topics, and it's the roles and responsibilities. Who will be, oh, the caller's back. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us? Hello? I'm not sure if she can hear us.
Oh, I don't hear anything.
I don't hear anything either, unless she gets cut off all the time. Okay, we'll try it again. Okay. So the first thing is you have to have in the relationship contract. And by the way, you can see Dr. Pat explain the relationship contract item sheet on our website, www.drpatallen.com. There's a free access to a streaming video of chemistry, compatibility, and communication. She teaches her tools, and also she has a couple demonstrating how to negotiate a relationship contract item. So basically, you have to have your role. Who's going to be the respectable masculine, and who's going to be the feminine cherished energy? And then you have your lifestyle, you know, where you want to live, what kind of home environment, your chores, your privacy, your hosting social gatherings. And then it's the finances. Finances, how do we handle, you know, finances, how do you, you know, pay the bills, planning for emergencies, retirement, keeping each one maybe a joint account, and then each one having a separate account. And then you have communication and conflict. How are you going to handle disagreements? Sex and affection. That's a big one. Basically, Pat talks money and sex are the two big deal breakers. And then that's what she says. How often do you want intimacy? What are your boundaries, turnoffs, and deal breakers? How do you express physical affection? You have no idea how big of a deal breaker that can be. Pat used to say that some women, you know, the guy would say he wants it three times a day. The lady would say, nope, that's not for me. You know, I'll do it once a day. But so you have to decide what works for both people, or you're going to burn one person out and they're going to get resentful if they give in. So, oh, I think she's back on. Caller, are you back on?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes, it's Andy Sue. How can we help you?
This is David Roberti.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
We're good.
I'm just calling in from South Central Family Health Center, where I'm doing some counseling, and I just wanted to say hi to Andy showing up from the WANT Institute, and I like this topic of boundaries.
Thank you.
Very important.
Yes, it is.
Yourself. Do you have any experience yourself you want to share?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I learned through doing this work, the androgynous semantic realignment with Pat, was that, you know, that I can only love by my actions to myself or anybody else. And so, you know, when I allow people to tread on me, and which I have so many, how many times have I made mistakes and learned, like, oh yeah, like if I just am a little bit more flexible, I can, I'll win them over. And I think that works for the masculine and the feminine. And unfortunately, it really is a challenging thing that we have. And I'm working with somebody right now. I just want to be cool. It's like, you know, we can't be cool if we're allowing people to walk all over us.
That's true. Cool. I have somebody else wanting to be cool. It doesn't work.
Cool will kill you.
Yes.
And
it'll keep people away because they think you're not interested. Yeah.
I'll never forget finding out that my marriage was over while I was sitting over at the Odyssey Theater going, oh my God, this is not going to change unless I change in the way that I do my relationship. And, I learned so much from Pat and all the coaches, uh-huh. Because, sharing our experience really helps. I've been doing a workshop called The Game Show. And it is such a universal topic of not knowing how to be able to flirt and then also to pursue.
Yes.
Because the game that people play.
Yes.
And a lot of girls or ladies want to have a ongoing relationship, but they don't have good models.
Yes.
And, you know, the androgynous semantic realignment, the Want Institute, that stuff that we learned that we have, you know, we got to go out there and fail a couple of times, but we have to go out and do it and not to be able to release the fear and just do the work.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm actually starting the game show up starting next month. I actually just got married a week and a half ago.
Oh, congratulations.
A new fabulous woman. Actually, Elle and I took Pat out for lunch a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually going to be speaking down in San Clemente. I'm going to see if I can go see her again, see to work that out again. I'm speaking not this weekend, but next weekend down in San Clemente. And you know, I'm just so grateful for Pat and what she's done for me in my life. And, you know, I've been working full time as a counselor for over 20 years with her guidance. And for that, I'm grateful. And I can lead in the relationship, and I can communicate a whole hell of a lot better. So keep it up, Sue.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great. Do you have any questions for me?
What? I'm sorry? What?
Do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't. I remember you from the Odyssey. Okay. Didn't you have a child or something too? A little baby?
Oh, my God. That's
it's probably older by now, but I just remember you had a newborn or you were ending your marriage or something.
Actually, you know, my daughter is a direct result of my engagement with Pat.
Okay.
And I love her more than life itself at some point, you know, and she's growing up to be such an amazing woman. And I allow her to individuate. And I try to teach her these practices and these, you know, these principles that really have accelerated and developed my life. So
are you teaching her to be the feminine? Are you the daddy umbrella for her to pick a good man?
Absolutely.
That's what matters. The good role model of a male figure.
That's my number one job. If you're bringing somebody onto the planet, you need to learn how to lead. And if you're a man, you know, show up. Whether you're married to the woman or not, that you're the mother of the daughter.
Yes.
And you should also respect and cherish them.
Yes.
Don't worry so much
yes.
about, but don't put up with bad behavior.
Yes.
Which my book that I'm writing, Manners for a New Millennium.
Oh, that's needed.
Yeah.
That's a needed book.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks for calling and checking in. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Best day.
You too. Bye. Do you remember him, Andy, from the Odyssey?
Not really.
I do. I remember everybody. Yeah.
I was on the Odyssey a few times before we moved.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. He worked with Pat a lot. Yeah. I remember him. He was a nice guy. Yeah. So anyway, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. There is a hi-bye letter I want to read from a lady that I guess the gentleman was inconsistent and he kind of ghosted her and they didn't have the same goals as far as relationships or work ethics. So she wants me to read this and maybe it'll help people. The first paragraph is what you love and like about him. So this is it felt nice reconnecting with you after so long, hearing you tell me that you want to take care of me and that you appreciate me. I respect you for the healthy changes you made in your life. I enjoy receiving your affection and you acting like a gentleman. Then the second paragraph is what you, the pain you had or what you disliked. I do not like the inconsistency between your words and actions or hearing from you wanting to be in my life and then you disappearing. I don't like feeling dismissed or occasions when I asked for something. It felt particularly disappointing when you chose not to accompany me to an event when I felt uncomfortable attending alone, even as a true friend would do for a friend. I really value connection and shared social experiences, and your disappearance made me feel uncherished and disposable. And then the third paragraph, she wrote, you're supposed to either, I'm not sure of her order, what you do want in a relationship. She has, I want to share my time only with a kind man who is connected to me. Reliable and consistent, I want to spend time with a man with traditional values who regularly shows up, wants to cherish a special woman and enjoys sharing his time and attention. I want to have a bond with a loving man who is my best friend, communicates with me, and shares similar values as me in life. And then she writes, the fourth paragraph is what you don't want in a relationship. I don't want a relationship with a man that lacks lacks consistency, or one that involves ambiguity, convenience, or a casual hangout. I do not want to feel dismissed when I express my needs. That doesn't feel loving or cherished for me, nor is aligned with what I want. And then the fifth paragraph is, thank you for teaching me this painful lesson so I will not repeat it ever again. All the best. So that's the order of the hi-bye lesson. She's writing this one. That's a perfect lesson, caller. Perfect hi-bye. If you want to send it, you usually send it after 8 weeks. You send it, and sometimes it can open, it leaves the door open for him to come back. In this case, we'll see if she wants him back, if he does come back. And sometimes you write the hi-bye letter if you made a mistake and you did something to hurt the man. The last paragraph, number five, you write down, you know, I apologize or I make amends for my behavior, blah, 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 and whatever you did. And then it's kind of like an apology type letter and an amends letter, but you use the same format. Andy, what did you think about this letter?
Well, I was under the impression that you write that letter the way your energy follows.
Okay.
So, you know, it's everything you like, everything you don't like. This is the five paragraphs, but I would switch. I would tell her to switch the don't want and do want.
Yeah, put down number three is your what you don't want in a relationship, and number four, what you do want in a relationship. And then for the painful lesson.
Yeah, just to be a cherishable human being.
Yes.
Otherwise, it sounds respectable. But I think that's also an insight into her personality.
Okay, that could be true.
So, and, you know, through the conversations we've had, I don't think that's far off the mark. But this one is a good example of something to practice, something to get comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I think I could still modify some things, though.
Okay. What would you modify? I'm not sure she wants this gentleman back, but if she does, whenever you write the letter, it's leaving the door open for him to come back and if he wants to change. So there's always a chance that he'll come back, but he may not change. So this letter isn't a guarantee that he's going to change, just to let you know that as well.
Well, I never bank on the other person changing at all. That is kind of the baseline of they are who they are. They're a ceramic figurine, and you either like the figurine or you don't. And if you like it enough to keep it in your house, then work with it. Accept it as it is. Like the backpack with the zipper that snags a certain spot. You either like the backpack enough and you'll deal with the zipper.
Oh, that's good.
The zipper's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it comes in with Dr. Pat. Accept them the way they are, with all those little flaws, maybe inconsistencies you don't like. Reject him and move on to a model that you're more aligned with, compatibility, or you tolerate. That's where you half accept and you half tolerate. And that will eventually have you blowing up. You'll be tolerating bad behavior because it doesn't align with your morals and values, and you'll be starting to pick at him to try and change him, and then he'll get resentful, and it does not work out very well.
Yeah, so I never worry about the other person because if you're doing this, I want you to accept them as they are, so long as they're 51% valuable and abuse is not in part of its equation. Because that's the only way we learn.
That's true.
So for me, if she wants to be feminine, as I believe she has said she does.
Yeah.
I would ask her to rewrite the letter and then use those feeling statements. Some of those words where I felt. Can you reread those parts?
Oh, it says, when I see him, I feel a bit frustrated that he looks his. No, wait, hold on. Let's see. I'm reading the wrong letter here. Sorry. Paragraph one. Well, it says, I see what you mean. Paragraph two. What she doesn't like. I do not like inconsistency between your words and actions. So basically we want more feeling statements in there. It's about how she feels, how his actions hurt her feelings. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if you could send to me, I would update it. It'd take a little more time to think it through. But yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be what she wants in a relationship and what she doesn't want in a relationship.
Well, that's paragraph three and four. The first one is what she loved and liked about him. The second is the pain she had with him. Okay. The third is what you don't want in a relationship. The fourth is what you do want in a relationship.
Well, at any rate, some of the lettering, like I said, sounds more respectable than charitable.
Okay, so she's got to dip more to her feminine rather than using more of her logical and respectability. I see what you mean, caller. I think the letter's nice, but if you want to get more of your feelings across, use more I feel statements. I felt hurt when you did that. I felt unlovable or uncherished when you did that. Give the example.
Yeah, because the high value.
That's what I mean. In the number two paragraph, I felt hurt with the inconsistency between, not I do not like, okay. I felt hurt you have to have a feeling statement. And then I felt sad and dismissed on occasions I felt particularly disappointed. I felt disappointed when you chose not to accompany me. I felt uncomfortable. That one's good. I really value. That's not a feeling. So number two, basically put it more into feelings rather than respectable male type work talking is what I hear.
Yeah, more I statements. More feeling.
And the same with number one. Talk more about how you felt around him. What did he do to help you feel cherished, happy, sad, glad?
Can you reread paragraph one, please?
Paragraph one. It felt really nice connecting with you after so long, hearing you tell me that you want to take care of me and that you appreciate me. I respect you for the healthy changes you made in your life. I enjoy receiving your affection and you acting like a gentleman. That you need more feelings. I felt cherished with your affection. Yeah. Don't talk so much about what his actions were, but talk more about your feelings on how what he did affected your feelings.
This is what you like and love about them, not what they did.
Yeah, what you liked. Yes. Good point there.
And paragraph two is what you experienced as a pain. Paragraph three is what you do not want.
Yeah.
This is, I look at it as almost a love letter to yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Rather than what you did and what you didn't do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to focus on the pain temporarily so you know what you want and don't want.
Oh, yeah.
But then come around to what you do want eventually, right?
Yeah.
And learn that lesson that they gave you. And you can either choose to learn the lessons and grow or focus on what happened with them and not grow. So I personally prefer growth. I personally prefer moving forward, even if it's at a crawl.
Well, everybody wants to grow. I mean, it's healthy to grow when you're in a relationship. Hopefully you grow, hope your partner grows with you, but there are some people that like to stay where they're at. Sometimes you can grow apart.
Oh, for sure. Everybody has a perfect right to do that.
Yes. That happens to a lot of people sometimes. And some people, you know, they just want to stay and do the same thing over and over, but the other one wants to explore new experiences, maybe do some self-help work, explore other options, and then they sometimes can become incompatible because one has grown up the ladder too much and the other one chooses not to follow. That happens a lot.
Yeah, and all that's okay. I just ask them to make a conscious decision on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Instead of what will be, will be. I mean, that philosophy works for some things, but in a relationship, when you're half the equation, you get to make half the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is to acquiesce or, you know, enabling other people to play your actions and inactions, it's still a choice.
Uh-huh.
So,
that's
are
true.
You... Go ahead.
Oh, so I want to... our caller commented about our topic on boundaries. So one thing about Dr. Pat, when she defines boundaries, she makes a note, it's rules you make for yourself about what you will and will not tolerate, not rules for other people. This is about you. Boundaries are about you, not what other people have to do. And boundaries are self-respect in action. They protect your dignity, energy, and emotional safety. And they teach others how to treat you. So some of the core principles of Dr. Pat Allen's boundary work are you can only control yourself. You can't control other people's actions. That's a big one. Only your response to them. A boundary isn't you can't yell at me. It's this is the boundary. If you raise your voice, I'll leave the room until you're calm. Boundaries are about self-regulation, not control. How many times do people tell people you can't do that? And they can do whatever they want. If you're not comfortable, you say, I'm not going to participate. I'm going to go into the other room. Dr. Pat always says, take yourself out of the room. If they're not willing to stop with one of your healthy boundaries. And then boundaries regarding reflecting on self-worth. Dr. Pat says, no one can treat you worse than you treat yourself. If you allow disrespect, neglect, or chaos, your boundary is too loose. If you shut down or overprotect, your boundary is too rigid. Healthy boundaries are firm but kind. They come from confidence, not fear. And then masculine and feminine energy boundaries. And Dr. Pat frames boundaries through energy roles. And the feminine energy wants to be cherished. She sets boundaries by feeling and receiving. That doesn't feel good to me. I'm not comfortable with that. Those are some statements regarding feeling boundaries. And the masculine energy wants to be respected. So him setting boundaries are by thinking and leading. So his comments might be, that doesn't work for me. I'm not willing to continue this discussion right now. Both are valid. The tone just matches your core polarity in the relationship. So there's three steps to setting a boundary with Dr. Pat's format. State how you feel. And this would be an example. When you cancel last minute, I feel unimportant. Then state what you want. Here's an example. I want to make plans that we both honor. And then state what you'll do if it continues. Here's an example. If this keeps happening, I'll stop making plans in advance. Dr. Pat teaches never threaten, only promise what you're willing to do. And then boundaries are to be loving. Many people mistake boundaries for rejection. Dr. Pat reminds us boundaries aren't punishments. They're protection for connection. When you respect yourself, others can trust you. When you people please, others can't feel you and real intimacy disappears. So Dr. Pat's famous boundary truths are no is a complete sentence. What you permit, you promote. Guilt means you're doing something new, not wrong. You teach people how to treat you by what you tolerate. Do you remember all those stuff she talked about, Andy?
Oh, yes.
Boy, there's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot to unpack.
You know, boundaries is probably one of the biggest thing that teaching people, because they're so used to people pleasing for people to like them that they go over and above and they turn themselves into a pretzel, and then they get mad because they're not getting anything back, and then they get resentful and they blow up.
Sounds accurate.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever not set healthy boundaries, or have you had somebody set boundaries that were too stern or not set them at all and you've overtaken and walked all over them?
I've done things wrong for the first 40 years of my life.
and what were some of those examples for the callers?
Not being able to say no is a big one.
Not being able to say no?
Yeah.
So were you a people pleaser?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to an extreme.
And what did it get you?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Usually didn't get appreciated.
Yeah.
Sometimes it did. Usually it escalated into bigger things.
Because sometimes people pleasers get taken advantage of because they're so generous, the price tag goes up.
Oh, yeah. I would say they go hand in hand. Yeah. Even my ex, I won't go into, but yeah. Somebody once asked me to drive 2 hours to get their charger, a snack, and a bottle of water.
And you did it?
No, I said, I'm not doing that.
Oh, okay.
And they got mad at me, and it's been downhill ever since.
You could probably buy a charger and a bottle of water and some snacks cheaper than the gas to go drive it, the gas in your time.
Yeah, I mean, she could have gone to Uber 7 times.
Okay. And
they couldn't get there halfway.
Okay.
So there's just a lot of self things that they could have done that they did not do. They chose to ask me instead.
Yeah.
And boundaries is healthy for you. It's not always the best thing for relationship, but again, do you want a toxic relationship?
That's true. And it's usually better to start it off at the very beginning. I always tell my ladies, you know, duty dating is Dr. Pat's core principle, you know, go out with everybody, not to find, you know, don't use it as trying to find the one. You use it as practice. So you know what the one will look like, be like. It's like you're practicing dating to find the model through all the other men that you like. Don't just take the first one. You go and be the best person you can be. And then you see different men and find the pieces in each man you like till the right one comes. And then you always want to date at least 3 men at a time. And a lot of women don't like doing that, but it's important because if you only pick one man, you overfocus. Well, he's not doing that. I want him to do that. Why doesn't he do that? You start picking him apart. If you get 2, it's kind of either or. If you get 3, you get to look at them all and pick the best one. And you have more options. So it's hard. I always tell my ladies in my ladies groups, try and get at least 3 men. And the biggest thing they say is, I don't have chemistry. Chemistry can be, as Dr. Pat, women fall in love with their ears. So chemistry can grow on you. We want to get compatibility, and with a little bit of chemistry, because a little bit of chemistry, you can grow the chemistry if you're around the person enough. And the bad thing is a lot of women, they have, as we were talking about, they may not have had they've had unavailable dads. So their picker goes to unavailable men that are inconsistent. And that's where their chemistry always is, to the unavailable men. And they're inconsistent in a stable relationship when they really want a stable man, but he's so unfamiliar that they don't have chemistry for him. So we have to reteach them how to be with Dr. Pat calls it the boring stable man. But after a few dates with the boring and stable man, you become comfortable. So that's a hard one for ladies to comprehend and learn the lessons and work through, because I can teach everybody the material, but you have to do the work. That's the hard part.
Yeah, I think part of that is, unless you're willing to, not willing.
What?
My own experience is, until you start working on that, until you start practicing it,
yeah,
expect it to be magic and it'll just happen. But it's not magic. And you just have to tell yourself, you don't have to do anything. But for me, I had to do this. This is the way I worked, is I'm going to practice this relationship and just see how it goes. And if it goes well, then fantastic. If it goes to, you know, down the bucket, then so be it. But I'm going to learn something from it. And that was the talk I had to do in the beginning.
Yeah, with any material, it's kind of the drip method. You know, you hear it enough, process it, be aware that what you're doing, and it eventually does come. But you have to really work at it. It's self-awareness. Self-awareness is the key. And a lot of people would rather point at other people's behavior than focus on what they're doing.
Yeah. And there's a time when you're growing up, you're a young child, that openness is much easier. But as you grow older, it becomes much harder.
It sure does.
And I think looking at it as if you're a young child, because you kind of are when you're learning something.
Yeah.
If you give yourself permission to, you know, you got this brain, you got this body, and you got this appendage coming out the right side of you, we'll call it a hand and an arm. And I want to go touch somebody's face, but my hand is weaving back and forth as it tries to find the way to this face. And the next time I do it, it weaves less and less.
Oh, and yeah.
The same thing when we're learning things. We're just trying to weave and make our path, and it's going to be messy, it's going to be dirty, it's going to be imperfect.
Yes.
But if we allow ourselves some grace to experience the imperfectness, we can get to something that gets close to perfection.
Uh-huh.
And it just takes time. It takes effort, you know, 3 days to make that dendrite in your brain to start to build that.
Yes. What is it called? Rewire your brain?
Yeah, and I wish I knew the book.
What was that book? Wasn't it Sparing? No, wait. Wasn't it Siegel?
Maybe that's it.
Siegel's?
Yeah, that probably is.
Yeah.
30 Days to Softwire, 60 Days to Hardwire.
Yeah. The Daniel Siegel one. He's the one about the, yeah. What's the name of the book? Do you have it available?
I'm going to go look it up right now.
Okay.
So while I'm looking it up, can you tell us about the latest problem with the women's group?
I have a lot. I took over Dr. Pat's ladies groups, and those ladies have been with Pat for 3 years. It's almost like they have a little community. They really support each other. That's a great thing. And I'm coming in now, and Dr. Pat and I, we both have the same material, but, you know, I guess I send more material for them to read, for them to understand. They like that. I do a lot of material sending so they can read it, because I'm the type of learner, I have to read it, not just have somebody tell me it because I'll forget. So I send them the material with work hopefully that they can do on their own, you know, affirmations, you know, to get them switched over. So a lot of ladies, low self-esteem, and they pick the bad guys and they want to build their self-esteem. So I send them articles and work to do to build their self-esteem. And boundaries is another one that I have to work on to send them. And duty dating is a big one. And then I sent out chemistry versus compatibility, because everybody wants that chemistry, but sometimes the chemistry burns out too fast and then you're left with no compatibility. So you've got to do a mixture of that. And they're all doing good. Yeah. So again, I tell everybody I have some openings in the groups in November. So if you're interested, give me a call or email me at info@drpatallen.com. And I will give you the available times and you can start in November. Andy, are you back with the book?
I am. So there on the wantinstitute.net website, there's 137 or so books that are the science behind what Dr. Pat teaches. And in that list is three books by Daniel Siegel, MD. One is Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose.
Brainstorm one. Yeah. And what's that about? Is there something that reads about it?
Say that one more time. Oh, what's it about?
Yes.
Well, let me go on Amazon and see what I can find.
Remember you met him that one time in Orange County?
Vaguely.
No, you were with me. We were at the Dr. Amon's clinic and he came in.
Yeah,
Dr. Amon's was
a terrible memory.
Oh. I remember. I invited you to go to I had that extra ticket to the Dr.
Amon's. Yeah.
And you went up and shook his hand and said you admired him and stuff. Yeah.
That's right. I do remember that now. Thank
you. I remember everything.
So this is Brainstorm, the Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain. Between the ages of 12 and 24, the brain changes in important and at times challenging ways. Author of Parenting from Inside Out, Whole Brain Child, and Mindsight. Busts a number of commonly held myths about adolescence, for example, that it is merely a stage of immaturity filled with often crazy behavior, to reveal how it is in fact a vital time in our lives in terms of charting the course for the adults we ultimately become.
Yeah, I think Pat always recommended the Brainstorm one.
And it says, during adolescence, we learn important skills such as how to leave home and enter the larger world, how to connect deeply with others.
Uh-huh.
And how to safely experiment and take risks.
Oh.
Thereby creating strategies for dealing with the world's increasingly complex problems.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's on audio, I think. Yeah, audio.
Oh, that's
cool.
Next
book.
Yeah, if anybody, if you're listening, we do have a recommended book list. It's on our website, www.drpatallen.com. We only got a couple more minutes left, Andy, so. Well, we had one good caller. That was Roberto.
Yeah, good caller. Good topic. It's an important topic. It's a hard topic.
Yeah. And what was the book he's writing? Manners for Millenniums. That's much needed.
Yeah. Is that out or he's still writing it, right?
He's writing it. Yeah, he's kept writing a book for it. Yeah.
And I'd like to see when it comes out.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're off. Thank you, everybody, for joining. If you're out there listening, if you have a question you want to write in, and we'll answer it next week, just send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. If you want to join my ladies' groups, send me an email or call, 949-723-0338, and we will see you back here next week. Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, audience.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.